Thank you, Susan. Am I on, Steve? That's great. What an amazing time of worship. We are truly blessed. I'm not saying this because I'm one of them. We are truly blessed to have the worship team that we have. Amen? Aren't they incredible? Yeah, absolutely brilliant. So, should we pray? And then we'll start. Lord, I thank you so much, Lord, that we are children of you. Lord, we thank you for the love that you have for everyone and every single person in this room today. Lord, I right now just ask for your Holy Spirit just to flood this place. Lord, will you soften our hearts? Lord, challenge us where we need to be challenged and help us to grow further in you. Amen. Mm-hmm. Well, whenever I get asked to preach, I haven't done it a lot, but when I do get asked to preach, I'm always very excited and quite humbled. And Paul asked me to preach about a week ago now, and like I said, at first it's very exciting, and then you kind of get through your week and it starts to become less exciting and more nerve-wracking. And this week's been a long week. But it's been good. And I'm even more nervous this morning because actually the topic that I felt God relay in my heart is something that I felt that I've actually really struggled in. And it's something that I feel quite vulnerable speaking about this morning. I feel quite embarrassed to speak about it. But my prayer is actually from what I hope that my struggles and something that I've struggled with, it will help you and encourage you and to grow further in you. So that's what we're going to do this morning. I've worked for High Street over a year now. That's not the problem, by the way. Just what I just wondered in the mind. And it's been amazing. And it's thrown me out of my comfort zone in different areas. And it's been absolutely brilliant. And I've been able to do... even before I was necessarily employed by the church, I was doing different things, involved in various different things. And there was one Sunday I was involved in a service that was very special. It was something that I'd never even done before. And I was quite nervous about it, but it went away. And like anything, I kind of go away from, even like this morning, I'll go away and I think about how I could do things better. And I went away from the service that I was involved in really, really encouraged and felt like I did well. And it was really good. There's things, of course, that I can always improve on. And then the next morning, so that was a Sunday, and I, of course, I woke up on the Monday, and through the day, I was looking through my social media feed, and there was a friend of mine who I know from my gap year in London, and he posted this this post of him sharing at a conference, and this conference was a huge conference. It was a well-known conference. I won't say who it was. But when I read it, he was speaking at his conference, God moved in an amazing way, and he was talking about the kind of journey he had. I read it and my heart sank. And I didn't want to be upset. I wanted to be proud of him because he's a friend of mine. But yet I was upset. And a few hours later, I was thinking about it a lot, and I realized that I was jealous. I was jealous of this guy. And it was really hard hitting once I kind of realised that I was jealous of what he was doing. When really I should have been proud and prayed for him and been encouraged by what he was doing. And we look at the definition of jealousy. It's feeling or showing an envious resentment of someone, of their achievements, possessions, or perceived advantages. And the Bible was very clear. It warns us against being jealous. In Proverbs 14:30, it says, "A peaceful heart leads a healthy body, but jealousy is like cancer in the bones." Wow. That's serious. Jealousy is like cancer in the bones. And it's even, when we talk about jealousy and envy, it's, of course, part of the Ten Commandments, not being envious of what other people have. So I've been thinking a lot about jealousy, and so when Paul emailed me and says, "Can you preach?" I felt like actually maybe today might be the day to tackle this and look at it. a few months ago, Jess said to me, oh, you've got, she was reading 1 Samuel, and she says, George, you've got to read this book, 1 Samuel. It's absolutely brilliant. And I knew a lot, I knew a fair bit of David and Saul, but didn't know a lot about it. And so I was like, okay, I read it, and I absolutely loved it and thought, what an amazing story that is to fit in with today. So we're going to look at the story of David and Saul. So you can find it in, we're going to look from 1 Samuel 10. It is a massive story, and I could be here all morning reading the whole book, so we're not going to do that. So I'm just going to skim over it and the story, and you can just kind of follow where you like. And there will be details that I leave out, but it's, I just felt like I just need to cover the story and pick out the bits that's kind of important for us to go forward with today. So we're going to start with King Saul. So Saul was king. He was appointed by Samuel. Samuel was a prophet, and he was appointed king because the Israelites were desperate for a king, and they wanted to be like other nations, and so they begged Samuel to kind of give him a king. And at first, God wasn't very keen on the idea. He said that this is not what I want for Israel at this time, and the Israelites ignored him, and they said, no, Samuel, we want a king. So Samuel appointed and anointed Saul as king. However, Saul was an interesting man, and he made a lot of mistakes. He was disobedient. The Bible says that he led the Israelites away from God. And it was getting to a point where God said, Samuel, I want a new king to be in place. And he says, I want you to go to Bethlehem, and I want you to go and find a man called Jesse. And he has sons, and one of the sons will be king. So Samuel went to Bethlehem, and he met Jesse. And Jesse introduced Samuel to his sons, and they pulled out sacrifices. And after Samuel met the sons, God said to Samuel, none of these men are going to be king. So Samuel was, probably confused by it, thinking, well, why? You've sent me to meet this guy called Jesse. You've told me that one of his sons is going to be king. And Samuel says to Jesse, do you have another son? He goes, well, yeah, I do. He's just a boy. He's just in the fields. He's a shepherd. And he says, I'd like to meet him. And the Bible says, as soon as Samuel saw David, who was the shepherd boy, who was the other son, the eighth son, God said to Samuel, that's my king. That's my king. And there was a point where before that, there was one son particularly that Samuel thought it might be him. And God said, don't judge by his appearance or height, for I've rejected him. The Lord doesn't see the things the way you see him. People judge by an outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Samuel anointed David. And when this happened, the spirit of the Lord left Saul and was replaced with a tormenting spirit that gave Saul a lot of fear and depression. And the servants were trying to help Saul in his life, to try and help. And they said, we'll get a musician in. And this musician was David, and he was a great harp player. And Saul loved having David around. He loved his music. He loved when David played the harp. And so he did ask Jesse, he said, can David stay with me? And Jesse agreed. So David stayed with Saul. And then one day, the Israelites and the Philistines were at war, and they were on opposite sides of the hill when a big man appeared. And this man was Goliath. And we all know this story very well. Goliath was huge. He was scary. He was threatening the Israelites and was challenging one of the soldiers to come and fight him. It says in the Bible, for 40 days he came out every morning and every evening challenging the Israelites. And no one knew what to do. Saul said to his army, if someone goes and fights Goliath and kills him, you can have one of my daughters to be your wife. But no one went and fought Goliath. And then one day, David was back with his father Jesse, and Jesse said, I need you to take some food to your brothers who are with Saul at this moment in the army. I want you to take some food to them. So David goes over, and he take some food to his brothers, and Goliath appeared again. The Israelites were just terrified of Goliath. And David said, Why is this man scaring you? I'm going to go fight him. So he goes to Saul, and he says, Saul, I want to go fight this man. And Saul says, there's no chance you're going to fight this man. You're just a boy. And at first, Saul was very reluctant, but David still went. And Saul offered him armor, but David didn't want anything like that because it wasn't like him. It wasn't kind of for him. He never really had anything like that before. So he took what he knew. He went down to the stream, and he picked 5 stones and put it in a shepherd bag. Armed with only a shepherd's staff and a sling, he made his way across to Goliath. Now, when Goliath saw David, he must have thought, result. He gave David a lot of grief. But David was strong with the Lord, and he was with God. And David threw the stone from his sling. It hit Goliath in the forehead, and Goliath fell to the ground. David was victorious. After this, Saul really liked David and kept him with him. He liked him so much, he made him the commander over the men of war. David and the Israelites returned home, and this was where it all goes wrong for Saul. After what David did, he was famous. He was so successful, and he returned home as a hero. The Israelites started to sing a song. I won't sing it for you, but it said this. Saul has killed his thousands, but David has killed his 10,000s. This made Saul very angry, and the Bible says, from that day onwards, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. Saul was so angry at him that one day David was playing the harp for him, and he decided to throw a spear at David's face and missed. Saul also tried to send him into dangerous battles on the front line to try and get him killed, so it wasn't his fault. And that didn't work. And he realized that his plans were backfiring because of how successful and how much God was with David. It came to a point where David had enough and he left. And there were times where Saul kind of had heard about his whereabouts of David and went to go kill him. And there's times where David could have even killed Saul, and he didn't. The Philistines were starting to beat the Israelites, and as Saul continued in his reign, it was starting to go really, really wrong. His son Jonathan died, and he decided to take his own life by falling on his own sword. We read later in 2 Samuel that David becomes king. Wow. What a story. So what can we take from it? What can we learn from this morning? And how do we grow? And grow. So first point is, do not take the bait of Satan. You'll know that there's a man called John Bevere who does an incredible series on offense. And I think jealousy can root from offense, or offense can come from jealousy. But there are lots of things in my mind that can be bait to Satan. I don't think it's necessarily just offense. And I think jealousy comes underneath that. In John 10:10 says, the thief's purpose is to steal, kill, and destroy. My purpose is to give him a rich and satisfying life. So we know that actually eyes of the devil uses jealousy to put us down. Like I mentioned in the story, when we read in 1 Samuel 18, 9, the Israelites were singing the song, and it says that Saul kept a jealous eye on David. I don't know if many of you can relate to Saul there. I know I can. There's been a few times I can. And the best thing we should do is first acknowledge the fact that we can be jealous. I think we can be blind to jealousy. We can be, we can be blind to it. I was really grateful when I saw that post of that guy on social media. It took me a few hours to realise that I was jealous and that I could pray into it. Because I think if I didn't realise, I'd have just kept getting angry and kept getting bitter towards him. And actually, that's not what God wants for us at all. We can also ignore it. I think sometimes we want to ignore jealousy because we're scared of what it might look like to face jealousy, if that makes sense. So we need to acknowledge we need to acknowledge that sometimes we do get jealous. We also need to, I believe, Saul, of course, he had an option. When he was becoming quite well known and people were singing the song, Saul had a choice and he chose the wrong thing. We need to love instead of being bitter. Saul had the opportunity to be proud of David, to encourage David, and instead it turned into hatred to the point where he wanted to even kill David. A lot of things can grow from jealousy, hatred, offense, being annoyed at someone, unforgiveness. God has not created us to be all those things. He has called us to love one another. In 2 Corinthians 13, 11, it says, "Dear brothers and sisters, I close my letter with these last words. Be joyful, grow to maturity, encourage each other, live in harmony and peace. Then the God of love and peace will be with you." Leading a jealous life is the complete opposite of what God calls us to. When the matter arises, we have an option. Do I love them? Do I pray for them? Do I encourage them? Do I get upset? And do I get bitter? Second of all, jealousy is never about the other person. It's always about us. When we get jealous, the focus is always on that person, but it's not about them. David did nothing wrong in that story we read. He was being obedient to God. He was stepping out of faith in God, and yet Saul didn't like it. And when that guy posted that picture that I got jealous of, he was doing nothing wrong, the complete opposite. He was doing something amazing. So the problem isn't on them, the problem's on us. And that's sometimes really hard to understand and to grasp. On Alpha, we look at unforgiveness and forgiveness. And Nikki Gumbel says that unforgiveness is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. And I want to say jealousy is like drinking poison and expecting the other person to die. I mentioned John Bevere already. He does an incredible series on offence, and he was telling a story once in his story that I think we can relate to. A time when he hurt his knee, and he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, "I don't know how you've hurt your knee." And he goes, what do you mean? He says, "Well, not many people hurt their knee by what you've done. He was climbing a wall, and I don't know what he did to a knee, but he hurt his knee really bad." And he said, John Bevere said to the doctor, he said, "Well, why is it gone?" And he said, "You don't exercise enough." And it dawned on him that actually he hurt his knee because he didn't exercise enough. How many times do we get hurt because we don't exercise enough spiritually? And it's the same again with jealousy. We can get hurt so many times because some areas of our life we could be spiritually weak. Not everywhere. We can be spiritually weak and we need to exercise so actually when things come across, we won't get hurt. We won't damage our knee. I think we can learn so much from David as well in this story. He's incredibly humble. His attitude's in the right place. David was a good man. If we stay spiritually fit and we delve into God's word and we read the Bible and we pray for them, then hopefully we can be better at loving others. Third point, take care of your own plot of land. I don't know a lot about farming, but I was thinking about what it would mean for us to focus on what God has called us to do. And if a farmer has his field, he needs to maintain his field. He needs to look after it, he needs to focus on it. But say if that farmer went off and looked at other fields and he was concentrating on what other farmers were doing. And his farm, because he was focusing on what other people were doing, just dried out. It dried out, it wasn't maintained, and it was a mess. And I believe like that, God calls us to focus on our own plot of land. We can't be looking around at what other people are doing. We can be encouraged by that, but God calls us and he's given gifts to us. In Romans 12, 6, 10, "In his grace, God has given us different gifts for doing certain things well. So if God has given you the ability to prophesy, speak out with as much faith as God has given you. If your gift is serving others, serve them well. If you're a teacher, teach well. If your gift is to encourage others, be encouraging. If it is giving, give generously. If God has given you leadership ability, take the responsibility seriously. And if you have the gift of showing kindness to others, do it gladly. God has given us all gifts. He has gifted you. You may not feel like it sometimes, but you are gifted. And sometimes we focus on other people's gifts when really God calls us to focus on the gifts that he's given us. He equips us all. He wants us to focus on our own plot of land and to what God is doing. I think one of the hardest things for Saul was he realized that David was taking his place. And he had to realize that actually he should have just been focusing on what God had called him to do rather than worrying about what David was doing. And then fourthly, and for me, this is actually where the biggest thing, are we secure in Jesus? For me, this is where it comes down to. Why did Saul get jealous? Saul's jealousy came down to the fact that he wanted to be loved and respected by people, and the attention went off him onto David. When we are spiritually secure in Jesus, we find everything we need. When we get the grasp of how much he loves us and the plans that he has for us, we totally understand and are secure in him, that actually we find that we won't be troubled so much by things. And we are rich. We may not feel like it, but we are rich in God. When we have God, we have everything we need. I love the part of the story where Samuel meets Jesse's sons, and none of them are the future king. And he points David, the shepherd boy. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think it's amazing. And we can learn and know. I want you to know that God chooses you today. He chooses you. You're a child. We've sung it this morning. You are a child of God, and he chooses you. There is no reason to be jealous of what other people have, because he chooses you and he's called you by name. Do not be embarrassed about what you have. You are loved by God and he's called you. We need to be secure in Jesus. After I read that post about my friend preaching at this conference, I went to Soul Survivor a few weeks later, and there was a guy talking there called Andrew Croft. He's had a mention already this morning. And I could not believe what came out of his mouth when he stood up. We'd take a go with Youth for Christ. We'd take a group of young people. So it's for the young people, but God really spoke to me. And he said, he got up and he said, now this is a really hard topic to speak on, but I was speaking at a conference one day, and I was really pleased with how it went. And I got home, I looked through my social media feed, and I saw that someone else was preaching at an even bigger place. And he said at this point his heart dropped because he realized that he was jealous. And I could not believe what came out of his mouth. But you know what that was amazing? It encouraged me to know that I wasn't alone in this. When I was, when I did read that post and I was embarrassed, I didn't even tell Jess. I was that embarrassed. And I tell Jess everything. I was that embarrassed by it. In fact, this week is the first time she heard that story. A few weeks ago, I worked for Youth for Christ, and at the end of a term, we normally do like a day where we look at what we've done, we kind of give thanks to what God's done, and we look forward to what God's going to do, and we ask God to help us to give us inspiration and to help us to move forward. And this time, Jerry, who's my boss, he thought it'd be a really good idea if we went away to Wales for a couple of days, and it was absolutely brilliant. And my favourite part was the last morning, and that wasn't because we were going home, but he said it'd be great if we could just pray for each other, and let's be expecting, let's pray for words and pictures. And It got to a point where Jerry and Lizzie, who I also worked with, were praying for me, and Jerry had a picture, and this picture was that the moment I'm this small tree. Okay, now this is a bit, this is kind of focused on me, but just kind of go on going. I'm a small tree, and I'm surrounded by bigger trees. And at the moment, what God is doing is he's rooting you. He's making sure that your roots and your foundation is so secure that when you grow to be the one of the bigger trees, you won't fall or you won't. Do you get what I'm saying? And he said, do not compare yourself to the other trees. Because of what I'm doing at the moment is I'm rooting you in and I'm making sure your foundation is secure and safe. And I don't believe that's just a word for me. Oh, it's spot on. But I believe it's a word for many people in this church. Should we stand? I think what I'm going to do is, I'm just going to pray and we'll close. Is that all right? Is that okay? I think it'd be quite vulnerable if we said, come to the forward or put your hand up if you're struggling with this. So why don't we all just kind of lift our hands, raise our hands, in almost like saying, Lord, we want to receive from what you want to say to us today. And I'm going to pray. And if it's something that you've felt that actually you've really struggled with, kind of say this prayer or repeat it, and if you want more prayer, come and speak to me or one of the elders, and I'm sure we'd love to pray for you. So Lord Jesus, I want to thank you so much again, Lord, that we are children of you, Lord, that we do not need to compare ourselves to other people, because you have a plan for us, that you love us, that our security is found in you, Jesus. Lord, help us to encourage others that we might feel challenged by, and to pray for them and love them. Lord, I pray as we go on from this day forward, Lord, our eyes will be focused on you so much that we won't have to worry about what's going on the other plots of land, that we'll just be worrying about what's going on our plot of land. Holy Spirit, I pray for no condemnation, but for challenge, Lord, and to convict our hearts, Lord, in places where we need to be challenged. Amen. Brilliant. Thank you. Tink off.